Thanks so much, Pastor. Let me just thank you men for making it to this conference. I know not every man in your church thought it was a priority, but I got to thinking, when you brought your wife on this property and she looked around and you got to sit at that table tonight, she had to be thinking, my husband thought enough about me to make this a priority. That he can fish in the rain, hunt in the rain, go golf, and he can do all this stuff, but he has spent some money on me. So you're going to get the brownie points from this, men. And I just want to say thank you in advance for honoring your wife, and that is a command, honor your wife. And I wonder what the wives feel like who their husband didn't make this a priority tonight, and they're sitting at home. Right now they're saying, the sessions is just starting. I wonder what the theme is. What are they learning? As she walks in the room and sees her husband change the channel. And then you taught your kids something. Where are y'all going? Taking mom. Well, why? We're still in love. You're teaching, you're training just by what you did here. So I don't know what your marriage is right now, but I know this. You did something wise. These times are always wise. Time of training. It was, who was it? U.S. Grant got off of his horse in the middle of a battle. Bullets are being shot. And he tightened the saddle on his horse. Someone said, what are you doing, General? He said, I might have fallen off if I didn't tighten it right now. So these seminars are tightening some saddles. And Lord willing, we won't be falling off. 1 Timothy chapter 5, I want you to see something kind of interesting here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll look at just three verses. This session is purity for longevity. Purity for longevity. And by that we mean if you're going to have a long marriage, you have to keep your vows. You cannot cheat. Affairs do not help strengthen marriages. And just to lay it all on the table, we are all tempted. We're all flesh. We all battle this thing. If you do not battle lust, either you are dead or you need to be in the other session. Okay. So I can't believe you said that. Brother Tool wrote that down in my notes and said, say this. I would never say that. But 1 Timothy chapter number 4, Paul is addressing the leaders in the church. So Timothy is the pastor. Paul is addressing this young man. Paul is about 70, about to dismount. The John Wayne heading into the sunset. And 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. How? In word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith. Notice those two words, in purity. He said, Timothy, if you're going to make it ministry, you're going to have to be pure. Look down chapter 5, verse 2. The elder woman, the elder women, he's referring to Timothy. He said, treat these people, elder women, as mothers. The younger is sisters. So the other women in the church that are younger than you, you treat them as sisters, not potential mates. And then he says, with all purity. So that word purity is now used two times within about eight verses. Then look over in chapter 5, verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. You know, it's interesting. Well, let's pray. Father, bless this session in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting. Sometimes we ask God to do something he's already told us to do. For instance, if you've ever prayed and said, Lord, I sure am lonely. Please comfort me. It's an unscriptural prayer. God says, comfort yourselves. And then with the thing of being encouraging ourselves, Lord, stir me up. Unscriptural prayer. The Bible says, stir thyself up. Lord, encourage me. David encouraged himself. Sometimes we're saying, Lord, do this. And he's saying, I told you to do that. Yeah, good. And on this thing of purity, it's an unscriptural prayer. God, help me be pure. He says, no, I told you to do that. Keep thyself pure. We shared it with the pastors last night. There was a couple of bucks. By the way, this is my Bible. It's not an old Bible. It's an alligator Bible. I didn't mean to hurt him. I was with Pastor Dan Carr. You know how violent he is. And we were on an alligator hunt. And I was just target practicing, shooting bullets into the river. And those gators are so fast, he just swam right in front of the bullet. And then the Lord took him home. And so that's what that is. So why would you want that? So my preaching would have a bite in it. That's what it is. It's strange. Sometimes when I baptize, people in our church say it actually starts moving toward the water. Now, I don't know if that's true. But there are these two bucks, and one of them had a bullseye painted on his side. And the other buck looked at him and said, "What a bummer of a birthmark." Now, I can say this, man. The moment you got serious about serving God, whether you were a teenager or you just got saved recently or just got faithful in church, Satan and his demons drew a bullseye on your side. And you are now in the sights. You are public enemy number one. How come? Because if he takes down dad, he takes down mother and takes down the kids. And some of you that are in your 60s and 70s, your life's about spent. But everyone under you that looks up to you, that's who he's shooting for. Yeah. You've seen it. You take down dad, and there's a terrible divorce, and the kids go to the devil. Doesn't matter if they were called to preach or whatever. I mean, that whole family's decimated. And that's why we treat this subject very, very carefully. Years ago, I loved to hunt a little bit. My dad never took me hunting. We never went fishing. He was always chasing money. So I'm kind of reaching back now for some of these things. So I was out with this alligator hunter, and we were on his boat. And he said, "See them Nutra over there?" I said, "Yeah, I see them Nutra." He said, "Here's what happens. Those Nutra, they're the alligator favorite food. They are, the alligator was submerged and looked like a log, and them Nutra would jump on his back, and the alligator won't move. He'll run up and down the alligator's back, and he thinks he's a log, and soon the alligator will slowly pull away from shore and then submerge. And that Nutra is swimming on top of the water as the jaws come up and swallow him." Our enemy is very, very patient. Someone asked Tom Malone, the great pastor, who pastored in Pontiac, Michigan for many years, died in his 80s. They said, "Brother Malone, how old does a man have to be when he stops lusting after women?" Tom Malone, with that deep, raspy voice, said, "I don't know. You'll have to ask a man a lot older than me." He was in his upper 80s. Thank you, Brother Malone, for being honest. It's a battle. Hate to tell you, you'll have it the rest of your life. Why do we have this battle? Why the battle? Here it is. Number one, unresolved marriage conflict. Unresolved marriage conflict. "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way." What's it saying? When you have a fuss and a feud, resolve it quickly. Never go to bed angry. Never leave a crying woman. "Well, she just won't talk. She's crying. I'm going out somewhere. No. You never leave a crying woman. You stay there. You stay up all night long if you have to. We'll work all night long on our trucks. We'll fish all night long. But when it comes to a crying woman, we ought to be willing to stay up all night long to figure out why are they crying? And the answer usually is, I don't know. But unresolved marriage conflict. Number two, Satan knows he just has a short time. I believe with all of my heart, since I was young, Satan has brought in more and more evil, and he just knows it's not long before he's going to be frying in hell. And he's pulling it all out. He's going to pull down as many as he can with him. Number three, why the battle? Because Satan knows when the mighty cedar falls, so does the little fir. We already referred to this. He gets daddy, he gets them all. He gets grandpa, he gets them all. He gets the pastor, he gets them all. How many times have you met someone that says, "I was going to a church, the pastor ran off with somebody, so I'm never going back to church"? Well, I'm sorry. Don't bring your whole family to hell because one man fell. And we'll say more about that in a second. Number four, the boredom cycle. The boredom cycle. Why do affairs take place? Because someone's bored. They're full of excitement. You say, "What do you mean, boredom cycle?" When you're a little child, you ride a three-wheeler. Then you get bored, and then you graduate to a two-wheeler. And then it's not a two-wheeler, then it's a mini bike or a go-kart, and then it's a motorcycle, then it's a car, and then it's a pickup, and then it's a drag racing. It's
You know, it's a little merry-go-round. Then it's Six Flags, and it's 100 miles an hour on the upside-down rides. It's this boredom cycle. It's a cigarette, and then it's a joint, then it's cocaine, and then it's this, I'm bored with this, so now I'm looking for this. Solomon was bored. He had 1,000 women and was still not satisfied. The boredom cycle. Tell you why men get bored, because they're not out soul winning. You want to have an exciting life? You start winning souls and telling people about Jesus Christ. You have story after story after story after story. You'll be in good shape. You'll learn how to jump over fences as pit bulls are chasing you. I went to this yard recently. Oh, I got hurt with the story. Great big old tall guy. He had a yard, and it looked like human remains were in the yard. He had a pit bull chained up. It looked like the graveyard of soul winners. And I said, hey! He said, come on in. I said, I don't think so. He said, he's chained up. I said, that's all right. And that pit bull started barking at me, and he said, shut up, Percy! His dog's name was Percy. He said, come on in. I said, no. He says, he won't bother you. He said, come on in. I came up and said, sir, Mike Ray, I'm the pastor. He says, hello, good to meet you. My name's Percy. His name was Percy. His dog's name was Percy. I held up the Bible way like this, showed him how to get saved. He said, I like to get saved. And he said, so what I have to do? He said, I'm going to hell. I've never done this. I said, you have to call on the name of the Lord. He said, what's that mean? I said, you have to ask him. He said, all right, come in. I said, okay. Sound like you called. You know, I think all the angels looked over the edge and said, are you kidding me? Come in. You'll never lack excitement, fun, stories, a vigor, a rapid heartbeat if you'll stay after souls and have gospel tracts and be passing them out and stay on the soul winning trail. It's called the Great Commission. Is the Great Commission still great to you? It's the reason he came. It's the reason he left you here. If you're not involved right now in your church on a bus route or driving a bus route or knocking on doors or teaching a class or going out, the first part is go. No one's going to knock on your door and ask you how to get saved. You got to go there. I've been in our city for 32 years. Our city is 78,000 people. First 4 years, I knocked on every door personally in my city. We got three cities around us of 100,000. I can't show you a house I've not been to. It's exciting. Okay, moving right along. Some of you said, man, that guy's tired. Number five, why the battle? Needs not met. Needs not met. Speaking of that chiropractor, they do say, humanly speaking, if a man is married about every 72 hours or so, there is a need for intimacy in a man. If he is not receiving that, lust factor goes up, more lust. Job in chapter 31 said this, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I look or lust upon a maid? I wonder why he said that. And why did Job say that in chapter 31? Well, here it is. Chapter 1, he gets boils all over his body. I mean, he's got boils, pus is oozing out. He's got a disease. You think his wife said, come here, big boil. Come here, big boil. Let me... Are you interested tonight, big boil? I don't think his wife kissed him, hugged him, held his hand for about a year. Because the book of Job was a year. You know what I think he did? He says, while there was no intimacy, boy, I had to really guard my thoughts. He was married, but no bedroom. No intimacy because of his illness. I think he said, had to really watch my eyes, had to make a covenant with those eyes because my wife was not affectionate. And fellas, sometimes your wife's going to be with child. She's not going to feel affectionate. And then there comes this disease called menopause. It's called men on pause. It's like they give them a remote and say, you're on pause. I'm not going to tell you which preacher, I mean, I can name his name right now. He says, I went through purgatory for 20 years with my wife. She was not affectionate. Brother Mike, she was a witch for 20 years. I mean, godly, but she was a witch. And he said, one day she rolled over in bed and said, honey, I'm back. Now, your wife might be going through that. You say, what is that?
I don't know. Call that evangelist and speak to him. Number next, lack of prayer. Lack of prayer. Number six, Bible says in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. What's that happen? If you spend a lot of time with God, he gives you desires. And guess what? God never frustrates. He never gives you a desire that cannot be met. So the more you pray, here's what happens. Your wanter equals your receiver. Pretty soon, what you're wanting from your wife is what you're getting from your wife. God either makes her more affectionate or cuts down your needs. Say, man, that's the problem. I need to be praying more. Okay. And then number seven, it's not in your notes, access to porn. We live in a different day than I was raised in. When I was a boy, I never saw pornography. Someone had to go to the store who was 21, buy it, sneak in the store. They'd put it in a brown paper bag. Secretly, they'd go to the garage and be perverted and look at that stuff. Today, any little seven-year-old boy can hit one button. And now it's videos. It's child pornography. It's all these torture things. I mean, it's murder. I mean, who knows what's all on there? So in 10 seconds, a child learns more than I knew the night before I got married. And kids cannot be overloaded with all of that stuff. You cannot be too careful with your son. One of our men came up to me recently and he said, my son's 14, Pastor. When should I have that birds and bees talk with him? I said, about 4 years ago. I said, he probably already knows more than you know about it, by the way. You have to be sensitive to your sons because they've got hormones shooting through their minds. They got all this testosterone. They don't know what to do with it. And their body's starting to grow and hair's starting to grow places. But some of their body parts are starting to grow and they don't know what to do with it. They're feeling dirty and they're wondering, what is this going to be used for later? And why are my thoughts starting to see these? You're going to have to talk to them. That's the most awkward talk you'll ever have. I do not enjoy that. It's like, honey, babe, our boys need to talk. I gotta go somewhere. Winning the battle. How do we do it? Now here's some how-tos quickly. Confess generational sins. What's that mean? You'll see that in Exodus. It says, and they confess the sins of their forefathers. The sins of the forefathers are passed down to the third and fourth generation. Here's all that means.
It simply means look up your family tree and how your daddy was, how your granddaddy was, how your great-granddaddy was, and confess it. Confess doesn't mean you did it. It means say what they did. It means you just get alone one time in your life and say, Lord, my daddy was a gangster. He was an alcoholic. He gambled. He wasn't faithful. He was never here for us. And his dad, I think, was a gambler and a drinker. Please don't let that fall on me. Break those chains so I'm not that way. That's confessing it. So you're cautious of how it could pass down to you. Confess those. Sometimes we just kind of get filled with pride and we say, well, that's just the way we are. We're all hotheads. We never talk to our wives. We're always going, we don't do church. You got to deal with those things. Confess generational sins. We must hasten. Number two, be steps away from temptation. Be steps away from temptation. Matthew 26, Jesus said, watch and pray, keywords, lest ye fall into temptation. He didn't say, lest you sin. He said, I don't even want you in the area of being tempted. Like a little boy had his parents told him, don't go swimming in the city swimming pool. After school, he was diving off the diving board in his bathing suit. They said, why are you in this pool? And why do you have your bathing suit on? He said, I brought it just in case I was tempted. Keith Gomez, the great white hunter up in Chicagoland. I knew him when he got saved. He's a direct descendant of Nimrod. Direct descendant of Esau. Now I've cut it up. You know, the hunter. And I asked him, I said, Keith, you have a big church in Chicago. How many hours a week do you spend counseling women? He said, counsel a woman. Why would I counsel a woman when there's so many animals that still need to be killed? He said, what kind of pastor is that? He's still in. Amen. He's still in the ministry. Staying from appearance. What's that mean? Never alone. Well, where we work, you know, there's this woman business person. We have to ride alone in the car. Find another job. These days, it's not safe to ride with another man in the car. He said, where's that in the Bible? It's in the hymn book. No, never alone. No, never alone. You've sung that song. That's not what it's talking about, though. Years ago, before the cell phones came out, when I was pastoring, a woman was on the overpass just entering our city. I was in my mid-30s. She was probably 60, 65. Her car had broke down. I'm not a mechanic. Her hood was up. I pulled up. I said, well, the hood's up. I said, you have any kids? Anybody who can help you? Nope. She said, but I just live a couple miles away. It's starting to rain. And again, it's before cell phones. Probably wouldn't do this again. I said, ma'am, I'm the pastor. Here's gospel track. I'll drop you off at your house and say you have to ride in the back seat. But I'll give you a lift home. Oh, thank you so much, pastor. So I drop her. I mean, like 30, 35 years difference. So I drop her off the house. I may come to your church sometime. She never came. 2 or 3 years later, I'm in the auditorium. Someone said, pastor, your visitor's here. You invited some lady years ago to church. She said she's standing on the street corner and you picked her up. That's not quite how it worked.
Number next, rebuke Satan out loud. So if he's real, and he is, and lustful thoughts are shooting through your head, by the way, it's not a sin to have a lustful thought. It's a sin to let it lodge and dwell on it. We all have those thoughts. You ever been praying? Oh, God, and a wicked picture come into your mind. Satan's constantly shooting. Answer him out loud. Satan, in Jesus' name, depart from me, and I'm going to be glad when you burn in hell. Something like that. Number next, number five. Now, don't do that when you're around your wife. Satan, stop causing that lustful thought in my mind. You're not going to need an arrow through your head. She's going to put a knife through your head. Number five, no ongoing appointments. No ongoing appointments. The fellas, none of us have enough wisdom to help a woman. They're so complicated. You're wasting your time. That's why the New Testament says, and you older women, the women, teach the younger women how to love their husbands, train their kids. You men, leave it alone. So a woman came in the office, needed an appointment years ago, and she looked like her clothes were sprayed on. Had to take all these deep breaths, just the zipper, blue jeans, looked like a country and western singer. She comes in the office, comes in my office, and I was molested as a child, and my husband never loved me, and I was homeless, and I had to be a prostitute for a while. Just all the intimate things. What in the world? And so, on the way out, she goes, pastor, when's my next appointment? I said, next appointment? This was it. I said, if you do what I told you, we don't ever need to talk again. And if you don't do what I told you, why would I waste another 30 minutes talking to you? You say, I bet she never came back. No, she didn't. Praise the Lord.
Number next. Fill your mind with scripture. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Answer, by taking heed thereto according to thy word.
This book is the water of the word. Our minds get dirty. Someone says, you independent Baptists, y'all brainwash the men. Hey, my brain needs washing. And this word just washes and washes and washes and washes. We have to bathe in that book right there, or we don't have a chance. Number seven, do not compliment the genders. Used to, I said, do not compliment the opposite gender. Now I say, don't compliment the genders, period.
Fellas, if Mrs. Brown looks real pretty and nice at church, don't tell her. Miss Brown, you look so striking in that outfit. Get ready. That word striking, your wife's about to be striking you. And you don't go home and compliment. Honey, Miss Brown has lost so much weight. She looks so good. Honey, you think you could lose some weight? And don't compliment the same gender. Ralph, you look real good in that suit. In other words, just don't compliment anybody. That's what I'm trying to say. Never brag on anybody.
Number 8, make a covenant with your eyes. Make a covenant with your eyes. Now, what's that mean?
That means with God's help, you just say, from now on, eyes, you're not going to look at the pictures, the magazines, as we check out of stores. We already know what's on them.
That's right.
We're not going down that aisle that has the magazines anymore.
That's right.
If the cheerleaders come on at the NFL, we're flipping the channel. Right. We're not watching bedroom scenes. We're not watching that girl with the low-cut blouse and the mini skirt who's advertising by Toyota. You just have to make a covenant. You're driving down the street, here's someone jogging. And they have to be half-naked. You know, it can be 0 degrees, and they have to be half-naked. You have to watch it all the time. Some of you work with people like that. You have to just make a covenant.
What else?
I was at a motel one time as a preaching conference. Brother Treber was the main speaker. And I called his room. I said, Brother Treber, you have a minute? Just have a quick question. He says, come on up. So I was in his room in 2 minutes. He said, come on in. I came in. There were pictures all over his bed, all over his dresser, of his family. His TV was covered with a towel. I said, is your TV broke? He said, nope. I never watch it when I'm alone. I said, Brother Treber, you like scrapbooking? Look at all these pictures. What a great hobby for a great man of God. He said, no, I'm reminding myself I'm married. Smart man. He's still in. Maybe some of you men need to put a big family picture on your office desk. Put one in your car. Put you about 8 wedding rings on. Did you read the newspaper? The owner of the Patriots? So I guess really when you get older, you still have that temptation like when you're 77. And he could have any woman in the country, he thinks. No, he's got to pay some stranger. There's some issues there. I bet he wish he'd have sat in this class a long time ago than being humiliated in front of the whole city. Or the whole nation. Quickly here. Number next, keep a busy schedule. Keep a busy schedule. Idle mind is the devil's workshop. Thomas Edison was asked on a survey sheet. They said, what sins tempt you? He said, sin? I don't have time. He had a wristwatch. He had pulled the arms off of it. Wore a watch, no arms on it. He said, don't matter what time it is, it's time to work. Look at this guy. Number next, control the TV. What does TV stand for? It stands for testing virtue. Do you have strength enough to do this? And men, let me say this. We didn't have a television our first year of marriage. It didn't kill us. It didn't kill us. We bought a TV when LSU was going to the Final Four, and I was doing Bible studies. I knew some of those guys. Number next, tell your wife about any threats. We're not talking about, my pastor's going to kill me. I wrecked the church bus. No, we're not talking about that. Any threats. What's a threat? That's that woman that's big busted at work. She happens to walk past your desk and brushes up against you and says, oh, sorry, is that you? She's testing the waters. They try to tell a dirty joke or insinuate something, and then they look to see your eyes. It was Abimelech that came up too close to the tower in the Old Testament, and that woman just dropped a piecemeal, split his head wide open. He said, "Someone take me down. Don't say that a woman killed me." He got too close to the wall. Be careful of that woman that wants to get in that 6-inch space that kind of belongs to you, where either a fight breaks out or it's sensual. Careful. But a man that was a Sunday school teacher worked with our teenagers years ago. He came up to me at church. He says, "Pastor," he said, "you never believe." He said, "this beautiful woman," he said, "like a movie star, came in to do business at our job, and I checked her out. She was headed out. She handed me her business card. She put it on the desk and slid it to me and said, 'Hey, why don't you call me sometime?'" He said, "Pastor, you've been so proud of me." I just slid it back and I said, "Oh, no, no, ma'am, I'm a Christian and I'm married." I said, "Good job." And she said, "I am too. Like I said, why don't you call me sometime?" I looked at him and I said, "And you did pick up the phone right then. I know you're a smart man. You picked up the phone, you called your wife right away, and you told her, didn't you? You told her, honey, guess what just happened? You told her, didn't you?" He said, "My wife would have killed me." I said, "Your pastor's going to kill you." I said, "By the way, where's that card? Where is the card? You saving it for a rainy day, sir? Oh, by the way, he's out of church. He's heading to prison. Lost all his kids. Lost all respect from his wife. You better tell her of any threat." You say, "Well, what's she going to do?" Those things are coming out. That Walking Dead show is like a cartoon now. Those claws are coming out. She knows how to handle Jezebel. She'll take care of her. She'll throw her out the window, feed her to the dogs, tramp over her with her own chariot. She'll handle it. Now, for you men that are not pastors, let me just say this. Guard your pastor at all times. Guard his name. Guard his reputation. It seems like, you know, I finished baptizing, you know, I'll preach, finish baptizing, and I come down to the front and it's, "Hey, Pastor, I need to ask you, something." Everyone's heading to the bus routes and they're jumping on buses. People are heading to lunch. And it seems like every once in a while there'll be this beautiful woman, some visitor, some single parent. She'll need to say, "Pastor, my whole life." And she starts sobbing her tears right there. And I'm kind of listening. Pretty soon I look up and the building's empty. I didn't mean to be in that building alone. I just kind of got stuck on the way out. Then I look at it, then I look in the back, there'll be a couple of our men standing there, guarding their pastor's name. You want to keep that man. You want to guard him. You want to be one of the David's mighty men. And then last, we're finished with this. Hey, we're going to be there right on time, I think. Learn the benefits of, boy, I hate to use this word, oh, especially in a men's meeting. I don't even know if it's appropriate, Pastor. I don't know what words you use here. Should I say it or not? Okay. Learn the benefits of fasting. Fasting is not just doing without food. Fasting is a spiritual thing that humbles us. It does not get God's attention. It gets our attention. Where's fasting mentioned? Isaiah 58. A whole chapter on it. Fasting is not dieting. It's not abstinence. It's replacing meal time with Bible and prayer time. So if you eat an hour and a half a day, counting all three meals, counting preparation time, you're simply skipping that time, so now you're in the Bible and prayer an hour and a half that day. You say, well, what's fasting do? Okay, catch it. Ezekiel 16:49. The Bible says, these be the sins of Sodom. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, that homosexual town that God blew up. These be the sins of Sodom. Guess what? He doesn't say homosexuality. He says pride. Fullness of bread. They ate too much. Abundance of idleness. Wow. So what's fasting do? When you go a day without eating and you close your eyes, you don't see a naked woman, you see a whopper. You see blackened redfish. You see a seafood platter. As you're going down the road, you don't see that half-naked woman advertising Toyota. You're seeing Wendy's 5 miles. Jesus went 40 days without eating. Moses, 80 days without eating. We miss a meal, we got a headache. We miss 3 days, we're hallucinating. Miss 3 or 4 days eating, we're contemplating suicide. What a man we are. I close with this. On the Starbucks cup, and I'm a big Starbucks fan. I mean, I would buy stock if I had no. But I only drink it every day just to make sure they're running the company right. But on it is a picture. I used to think it was a mermaid. It's not. It's called a siren. S-I-R-E-N. From Homer's Odyssey. It's a mystical character, like a cartoon character almost, that's dreamed up by Homer. And the legend was there was this island of these half-beautiful women, half-mermaid creatures who sang beautifully, hypnotically. And as sailors would sail their ship past those islands, they would hear that beautiful music. They could not resist. They would pull their boats in toward the island, not see the submerged rocks, crash their ships. Then the sirens would board their ships, kill them, and eat them. They were cannibals. So the wise captains knew about the island of the sirens. They would put wax in the ears of their sailors, put wax in their ears, have their sailors tie them to the mast of the ship, and say, as we sail past the island, we don't do anything till we get out of range. That's a wise ship captain there. Men, from time to time, we're going to have to take some spiritual wax and put it in our ears and sail past some islands of the sirens. Because there's going to be some woman. Come here. I want you. And they're going to look very irresistible. But you know what's more beautiful? The will of God. And the blessings of God. And the future respect from your kids and grandkids and your wife. I'm so glad you're here. I am so delighted to get to meet you.